Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I thank you for joining us. And let's see. We have a special announcement. Hal, you want to tell us what's going on?
Well, this radio show will air on July the 13th, and that's my birthday, and I want you all to sing happy birthday to me right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Right now. Okay.
Yeah. I'll leave.
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hal. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that was great. Thank you so much.
I got one question.
What?
Do you need a reminder call on Saturday to let you know that it's your birthday?
No, I hope not. Yeah, I know the source of that, too.
Okay, just want to let everybody know we have a new schedule for CCTA Wake Up Call. We now are airing on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. and on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., and for a brief period of time, we'll still be on Sunday evenings with a replay at 8 p.m. And as always, we are archived on our website, so you can go to cctaxpayers.com, click on the Wake Up Call button, and share it with everybody around the world. And hopefully that won't get you in any trouble. We got Bob and Mary here today.
Hello.
Hello.
We got a new energized, rebooted Bob here.
Oh, yes.
We've got Diane Ruffino with us.
Hello.
And Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there, y'all.
Let's talk about some politics. I think I already said that, but we just got through this third congressional district Republican primary runoff. And aren't we glad that's over with?
Yes.
Yes. Got too many ads in the mail, and I was tired of hearing it on the radio and the TV, constantly bombarded with it. I don't like political ads, especially when
I like some of them.
Well, I don't like when all the big money comes in and they start stretching the truth,
right,
or telling outright lies and attacking one another. That's just, you know, that's it.
But there were a lot of good interviews on the radio programs.
There were good interviews. There were some good debates out there.
Yes.
And that's the way to get you information. Go and talk to the candidates. I had one of them call me personally and talk to me. And I thought that was nice. So the best thing you can do is to put forth the effort to talk to the candidate in person, if you can go to one of the debates and get an opportunity. I know everybody's not going to get a chance to do that, but you can at least try. If not, maybe an email or something like that. But then the next thing you can do is, if they are an incumbent, you can check their record.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
You can see how they voted, not how they said they're going to vote or how they say they will vote or anything like that. You can check how they have voted. And you can see what they're doing.
Now, this was the primary or second primary for just one of the parties.
Right.
Now there's going to be a general election. The date is September 10th,
yes,
I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that four candidates?
Four candidates, yes. There's a Democrat, Alan Thomas. The Republican will be Greg Murphy. The Constitutional Party is Greg Holt. And the Libertarian Party is Tim Harris.
Those are your four candidates.
Yes.
So you can start doing your research now and preparing yourself for the September 10th general election, which will finally decide, give us a third district congressman. So
For one year.
I know that the CCTA vets candidates. Have we vetted all four of those?
No, we vetted two of them, Greg Murphy and Greg Holt. But Joan Ferry was asked a number of times and never got around to doing it. And Tim Harris, I haven't heard from him. Maybe I could pursue that now that we know exactly who they are. And Alan Thomas, right.
Well, I don't know how it'll turn out, but I'm going to go ahead and be inviting the four of the candidates to do a public forum, CCTA sponsored. So we'll give you information updates on that at a later date.
Well, how about the forum that we had over in the college, at the college? It was, didn't we have all of those people there? I think they were all there. They might have been.
Yeah, we had 17 there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that was really great. But it was early on, and not much interest had been generated on it. But we had a good turnout, I thought.
Yeah,
very good.
But it now it's like a new chapter, and we really
need it
among the four.
I was just trying to point out we've tried to do this already.
Sure.
Well, this will be for the general election, the four final candidates there. Right.
And just this is for our younger listeners. Dr. Doobie is not going to be on the ballot in September. That's Baco, Dr. Baco.
Okay, it's over my head.
It was right over my head.
He was the candidate running to legalize marijuana. So we called him Dr. Doobie.
Okay.
So young voters, he will not be on the ballot.
Okay, well.
And you know, but how many voters came out for this election? 11.51% of the eligible voters.
You know, that is so high. You know, it doesn't sound like much, but from expectations, you know, people were talking about maybe 6% turnout was going to be high if it had that much, and here you got 11. That was, and so many of them turned out on election day. That's what surprised me. The early voting was
down. It's a sad commentary when 11% is something to celebrate. I think we need to work harder on getting people to the polls and exercising their rights.
However, we started out with, we started out with 21 candidates or something? And we got down to two in the Republican Party. And I think a lot of people were unhappy with their choices because their candidate didn't make it.
Right.
But I still think in a primary runoff, 11% is not, I mean, it's horrible. It's not a bad turnout, but it isn't a bad turnout.
I think what bothers me is this is Eastern North Carolina, and Eastern North Carolina love Walter Jones. And I think if Walter Jones truly meant what he meant to people, that they would want to honor his legacy by picking the candidate most like him to continue the legacy. And that's what I was a little disappointed that they didn't really come out to. In force to try to make sure that we had a continuous legacy.
Well, since you said that, I'll come out on the other side. I think that the endorsements by Mark Meadows, a North Carolinian that we all have a lot of respect for, the endorsement by Jim Jordan, the majority member of the House, Oversight Committee. So those people are well appreciated in North Carolina, and I think that carried a lot of weight with the voters.
Oh, that did. Most people said that was the defining endorsement. But I'm just talking about not any candidate in particular at all.
Oh.
I was just talking about, you know, Walter Jones is Eastern North Carolina. 20-something years, 24 years he held in office. I just thought people would have cared enough to make sure
that they voted.
Yeah.
I think we all appreciated Walter Jones for his looking out for his constituency, and we hope his successor continues that policy.
Yes,
but he did it with an honest heart and sincerity. We want a candidate that has those same laudable qualities.
I know as a voter, it was difficult to make a decision because you had a person running who didn't have a record at all,
mm-hmm.
and you had a person running whose record you might not totally agree with.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite a coin flip. The endorsements mattered.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I think it was a hard choice. And the saving grace to me was the fact that whatever we do, whoever we elect, we will elect for a year. If they do a good job, and they won't even be doing much for a year because they'll be campaigning. But if they if they do something that's worthwhile and they stand up for Eastern North Carolina, they will probably get reelected in 2020. If they don't, we have another shot at it.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows was mentioned earlier. That Freedom Caucus endorsement and the promise of continuing mentoring meant quite a lot to me.
Yes, the mentoring part is really good.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because we've had
I'm very hopeful about
we've had our share of North Carolina politicians who've gone to Washington as conservatives and somehow drank the water or whatever.
Something happened on the trip up.
Yeah, and they didn't quite become what they should have been.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's enough of that.
You're here.
You have plenty of time now to make your decision. It'll be September the 10th. Will be the general election for those four candidates that Hal mentioned. And then a year later in November, you'll get to do it all over
again. Deja vu.
The only difference is at that time, you will have a record to examine.
Yes.
On the current seat holder. And he'll be an incumbent, and or she or it. No, it's all he's now.
It's all he's now.
All he's now. So, you'll have something to go by. Just do your homework, do your research. Now, that brings me to another topic that's looming on the horizon out there and is very active and hot in some states. And I think last count I heard it was 14 or 15 states have they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. And I think there's a lot of confusion or ignorance on the topic of the Electoral College. Because the liberals are very good at using words and giving them new meanings and things like that. You know, they keep talking about the popular vote. They talk about Hillary Clinton had the popular vote. She got more votes than Donald Trump. She had the popular vote, so she should have been the elected president. Well, that's not true. She didn't get more votes. Okay? And I've posted this on our website, so people that want to refer back to it can go up there and see it and just click on the news, and it's one of the posts there. The United States founders created the Electoral College to ensure the states and all Americans are fairly represented. Okay? Now, again, when you hear popular vote, majority rule, you think, okay, that's good because the majority is going to, you know, they're going to decide. That's not a good thing always. And here's why. Why should one or two densely populated areas speak for the whole nation? Do they truly represent all states and our entire nation? There are 3,141 counties in the United States. Trump won 3,084 of them. Clinton won 57.
Wow.
Now, that's counties. That's the breakdown on the counties. There are 62 counties in New York State. Trump won 46 of them. Clinton won 16. Clinton won the popular vote by approximately 1.5 million votes. In the five counties that encompass New York City, Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Richmond, and Queens, Clinton received well over 2 million more votes than Trump. Clinton won four of these counties. Trump won Richmond. Therefore, these four mega counties in New York City alone more than accounted for Clinton winning the popular vote of the entire country. These five counties comprise 319 square miles. The United States is comprised of 3,797,000 square miles. So should a nation that encompasses almost 4 million square miles be ruled by those who live in one small corner of the vast nation, a mere 319 square miles? Should this small section of the country dictate a national election? Should large, densely populated Democrat cities, New York City, Chicago, L.A., should they speak for the entire nation? That gives you something to think about. And that, my dear, is why the Founding Fathers were so wise in setting it up the way they did and having an electoral college.
California has four of the largest cities in the top 15. Texas has four in the top 12. Five in the top 16. We have New York City, and then we have, I don't know what the other big cities are. But you can see a candidate, all he needs to do, or she needs to do, is spend her time in Texas and California. Maybe stop off in New York City.
Chicago,
right? Chicago. And then ignore, you know, all the Midwest states. Ignore Hawaii, ignore California.
North Carolina would get a smell at them?
North Carolina, Charlotte is like number 20-something on the list.
I've often heard Raina say that a democracy is like two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Well, you know, that's another point. I'm glad you brought that up. They keep referring to our democracy. We are not a democracy.
Thank heavens we're not.
We are a republic, a constitutional republic.
Representative.
Yes, representative.
The republic. Other part of that, too, is when you look at the areas that voted heavily for Hillary Clinton, those are generally not areas that are well governed. Do you really want those people running the country?
Another excellent point, because if you go and do your research and look where the homeless are, look where most of the money is having to go.
Mm-hmm. Down rat holes.
Yeah.
And the cities are about to go bankrupt.
They are bankrupt.
Public urination, right. All that kind of stuff.
And they're also sanctuary cities and things like that. Mm-hmm. And
voter fraud is rampant there. And
they don't particularly uphold the morals that you would consider in a lot of the southern states. So, that's what you would have if you got rid of the Electoral College. Your popular vote would come from those areas that are most densely populated and have the biggest problems, the greatest debt, and not what you want to see happen in this country.
Well, weren't we, with currently 50 states, weren't we supposed to be 50 competing enterprises to try to figure out what is the best
way to run a government?
The laboratory
of the states, yes.
What is what's the better way to represent the people, to support the people, to get jobs for the people?
I thought there was 57.
Well, we are a federation of states, right? We're not a consolidation of states. We're a federation, which mm-hmm. means the government's supposed to serve every single state, their interests, equally. Mm-hmm. And if you have a president that just runs to on the cities, you know, in California and Texas, New York City, Chicago, those interests are not the same interests as Florida, as Iowa, as the Dakotas, right? And how can a president, if all he cares about are the issues that gets him elected in these big cities, how is he able to represent every state
equally?
There would
equally? Be no
it would
be representation a
nightmare.
Well, wait a minute, whatsoever, let alone equal.
Wait a minute. He doesn't they don't necessarily care about the issues in those big cities. What they care about is getting the votes in those
cities. I know,
big
but they're going to have to perform for them so they keep getting those votes.
Right, they're going to cater to them
that way. Yeah.
It's not that they really care.
Necessarily.
I wanted to explain why the Electoral College sort of is a decentralized process. The Electoral College naturally favors smaller states, and it also kind of favors conservative states. The smaller states, the less populated states, are the states that tend to be conservative and Republican. And the reason it does it, because the electors are based on congressional representation, both the House and the Senate. So North Carolina, for example, has 13 congressional districts. So it has 13 congressmen, it has two senators. So it's electors number 15.
Right.
There are states like Rhode Island that have two U.S. House members. So actually they completely double their elector number because of the senators. Right. So in California has something like 57 electors, two being the senators and the rest being the House of Representatives. So those two extra electors coming from the Senate really doesn't really matter with their big number. Right. But for the smaller states, you could see the senators really make a big difference. So that's why they say the Electoral College actually benefits the less populous states. It gives them a chance. It gives them a chance to be represented.
For equal representation.
Right.
And actually, if you stop and think about it, it had to be done to form our federal government mm-hmm. because the smaller states in population would not have joined the Union
exactly.
had they not been well represented. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think another genius of our founders involving that is you got two houses. You got the Senate and the House. And they both have to pass a law, and then the president has to sign it before it becomes law. So the hope there was that only pretty sensible laws would actually right. ever, you know, come into law.
Well, if you want to learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. I'll look at the article on the Electoral College. At the bottom, there are some other links for more information. It explains to you how many electors and how they're selected and how they cast their votes and all that.
I don't know. Do we want to talk about this new program that's going around, this new how to get around the Electoral College, the national popular vote? Do you want to talk about
Well, we can, but let's do it after we figure out how we're going to pay for the show.
Exactly.
We're going to do that.
Priorities, Rick.
We're going to do that by letting them listen to a few messages from our sponsors. And we ask that you would just go out and support them because they are the ones that are paying for this information.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Diane, you brought up the topic. You want to take it off?
So the initiative to get to abolish the Electoral College is called the NPV Initiative, the National Popular Vote Initiative. And what this does is it's a contractual arrangement that does an end run on the Constitution. So what the states are asked to do is to sign a contract agreeing that they will turn over their entire state's electoral votes to whoever wins the national popular vote. How many states have joined so far?
New Mexico was the 14th, and they joined in April.
But you said the governor vetoed?
I think the governor vetoed. I don't have that here. I don't know.
So the states that have joined on tend to be Democratic states. The reason they're doing it through contract and they're doing it this way is because these progressives, this is definitely a progressive movement, they will never get a constitutional amendment to change or abolish the Electoral College, because no conservative state is going to willingly give their electoral votes to away, because maybe Los Angeles and New York City and Chicago dictate that they go towards the Democratic candidate. All right. So they'll never be able to pass a constitutional amendment. But what this does is our system now is whoever wins in North Carolina, whoever gets the most votes in North Carolina, dictates who's going to get our electoral votes. Mm-hmm. So now if Trump wins in 2020, which means our electoral votes go to Trump. Right? Doesn't and you know, if California votes for Kamala Harris, it's our electors still go towards Donald Trump. With this MPV initiative, North Carolina, we may have voted for Trump, but if the national popular vote goes for Kamala Harris, then we lose our sovereignty. This is a way to give up state sovereignty. So that means our electoral votes have to go to Kamala Harris. So what other states do affects what our electors.
I take it the Supreme Court hasn't looked at it yet.
No.
Diane,
I can't see it as being
Diane, is this, in a sense, why should I vote? Because my vote is not going to matter if it's not in agreement with the majority of American voters.
Exactly. If you think we have voter apathy now, can you imagine? I always say this is the desperate acts of a dying party.
Right.
They're just trying to figure out ways to be relevant to win elections, and their aim is always the presidency. And
right.
And we all talk about
Stop and think about it.
Yeah.
What else are they doing with the illegals?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And giving
more desperate acts.
They want
acts.
The illegals to be able to vote, and they have a lot of illegals in those large populous communities that do vote.
Yeah.
I know they'll deny it, but the facts are out there. Do the research. And so you take that, and then you take this process of getting rid
of the Electoral College, and then they abdicate their role in Congress to do nothing but find ways to make Trump sound like he's done something wrong, or, you know, he's not fit to be president. So, yeah, these are desperate acts.
Right.
Desperate acts.
Right.
There's another trick afoot. The election is, a year and a couple of months from now. Now, the S&P 500 broke above 3,000 for the first time today. And the economy is roaring. It's doing very well. But some of the news stories that I've been reading talk about, investors are pulling their money out of the market because they're just not sure that it's going to last. If you remember the last year of the George W. Bush presidency, and of course that was when the whole housing bubble collapsed, but more than that, there was a whole down talking of the economy during that last year.
The tech bubble, wasn't it?
Clinton was the tech bubble, George Bush was the housing bubble. But there was a lot of down talk of the economy, and the economy responds to down talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that there will be an effort, it will be subtle, by Democrats to crash this economy within the next year. I don't know how they're going to do it. The Fed is talking about lowering rates, which will help the economy. But if they refuse to lower rates, it may stagnate a little bit.
Well, there's another move underfoot also, and that's to get rid of the Fed and go back to the gold standard.
Ooh, yes.
That'd be great.
Be still my heart.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another quick break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And Hal,
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on up North Carolina legislature. You got a House bill you want to talk about?
Yes, I do. House Bill 126, and Rainer and I have followed it very closely now. It seems like every morning just about we put on the audio for the Senate, because House Bill 126 is the certificate of need relaxing somewhat for the smaller practices, medical practices. It increases greatly the cost of the equipment would have to be to have a certificate of need, or CON, from $500,000 to $1.5 million. That would help a lot of small people. And it also excludes the ambulatory patients that
Ambulatory surgery centers.
Yeah, ambulatory surgery centers is the correct wording for it. That means that, you know, the whole procedure, such as cataracts, for example, cataract removal, that could be done in the doctor's office and not have to transfer the patient over to the hospital, where it picks up about $5,000 or $6,000 bill for using the operating room, which is unnecessary for the patient to have to pay. It's unnecessary for the insurance companies to have to pay. So, I think that's we're very anxious for that to pass, and it passed in the House and went over to the Senate. And it seems like about every day for the last several days, we've tuned in. They would say at 10 o'clock they're going to meet and consider the bills, and that's one of the bills. Then they would say we recess till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and we'd come back. And that's gone on for several days.
How, man?
It has passed the second reading. Yes, go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. It's passed the second reading. It's the third reading, but still the last hurdle to go.
Yeah.
And it's postponed from day to day. Today it got postponed till Monday session.
And a kind of bad thing about it is normally, most of the time, when a bill, a Senate or House, passes its second reading without objection, they'll go ahead and have the third reading and then send it to the governor for signature if it passes. Now, in this particular case, there was an objection. I think there were two of them, and on that passage of a second reading, so it had to be put off for another day for the third reading. And I thought, well, since so many of them were in favor of it, it'll just fly right through. But it seems like every day since then, it's been postponed. So what I read into that is they still don't feel like they've got the votes to pass it.
Is this just for cataract surgery?
No, it's for any ambulatory.
All ambulatory. Okay. The thing unfolds in stages. So that last stage is the ambulatory surgery centers. And that is in January of 2022. Okay. So it's even if it's passed, it's going to take a while, but it's a good bill.
Okay. And Greg Murphy's the primary sponsor of that bill, and I talked with him about it. He said he tried to make it go into effect immediately and things like that, and had, you know, they always have to compromise, so it won't actually go into effect until January 1st of 2022. So it's over 2 years away. But anyway, that time will eventually pass, and if nothing happens, and it does pass, and I'm really anxious for it to pass. And I've tried to network with some other people that I know across the state that would be interested in it, and try to get them to talk to Phil Berger.
Exactly.
And yeah, Phil Berger is one of them. Now, Norm Sanderson, our own representative, has been very helpful to us in this endeavor. But if we could get Phil Berger on with it, I think it would make a huge difference.
And you know, if any of our listeners are outside of Norm Sanderson's area in the Senate,
yeah,
wish they'd called their senator and asked him or her to vote in favor of getting rid of the short title is Amend Certificate of Need Laws, and it's House Bill 126. It's in the Senate, and ask your senator to please vote in favor of it.
Right. And another bill we've been tracking heavy is the Let Them Spawn Bill.
Yes.
House Bill 483, I believe it is.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of information circulating on that. If you'll go to our webpage, cctaxpayers.com, you'll see an alert at the top of the homepage on a human health crisis. And it's related to the fishing industry. A lot of information there that will get your attention if you're a seafood lover.
Absolutely.
And we've done a lot of work on that, and you have, I know. And we've also contacted that David Veal, a Dr. David Veal, who's concerned about it. He's done a lot of studies.
He was instrumental in Louisiana and helping them pass legislation.
Absolutely.
Down there.
We've been in touch with him.
Right. And the legislation that Louisiana passed is requiring restaurants and seafood markets and all to label the seafood so you know whether it is local or not local, where it's coming from, possibly what's in it.
I posted an article on my site for Love of God and Country that talks about more of the secondary or the unintended, the negative consequences of the bill. So
right.
there's a list of unintended consequences.
Some of that would be if this bill passes, it's going to put out of business a lot of your local commercial fishermen. Mm-hmm. We're already down from, at one time there was over 3,000, now there's around 300.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 90% of our seafood is imported.
Right.
It's
yeah.
imported. A lot of people think they're getting fresh local seafood. No, you're not. And you need to know what's in the seafood you're getting. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, I just find it odd that, you know, the number of commercial fishermen is going down in the state. But even at its height, when there were a lot of fishermen, where was the need for this bill back then?
Right.
Now, all of a sudden they need it, and the number of fishermen is down.
And
you know, it just didn't make sense.
There's new data that's come out that shows that actually the recreational fishermen are catching more fish than the commercial fishermen are. They're doing
and
more.
And that comes from the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission.
Right. They're having a larger impact on the population than the commercial fishermen mm-hmm. are. And from all the reports I'm reading, this fishing season we're in right now, there's an abundance of fish out there. It's not an issue.
A couple of sports fishermen that I know have questioned the validity of those figures, and it did come from the North Carolina Fisheries Commission, is my understanding of it, so I don't really know.
Yes, the facts are posted on our website. You can, I believe I did post that page up there. You can go and check it all out. I encourage you, please, for the safety of your children's health, if they eat seafood, especially with the antibiotics and all the other things that they're finding in it,
And please make a distinction. It's the imported that has the problem. Right. It's not true with fresh, wild-caught, local seafood.
That's why we're fighting so hard to keep this bill from getting through, because the local commercial fishermen are our source for fresh seafood.
Oh,
not raised on a farm, not pumped full of antibiotics and other chemicals, not living off of hog feces and things like that. It's this is important that we've got to preserve that commercial fishing industry in order to keep fresh seafood coming in here. If we don't, it's all going to be tainted.
Yeah, so we're fighting hard to get one to pass House Bill 126, and we're fighting hard to keep one from passing
right.
this House Bill 483.
Right.
So
okay.
Very interesting.
Well, that's some of the stuff CCTA is doing legislation-wise. We're going to take another break real quick to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some important training that's coming up that you need to be a part of.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. All right, let's talk about next Tuesday's meeting, or it'll be this Tuesday's meeting, day after. Well,
very soon.
Since we're doing Saturday now, it could be the day after tomorrow. Or
well, it'll be Tuesday the 16th. How's
right.
that?
There you go. Our meetings are always on the third Tuesday of the month, and they're held in downtown New Bern. They're held at Stanley Hall Ballroom, and we pride ourselves in bringing in some very good speakers from all around the country.
Absolutely.
And, having some excellent things to share with you. And I believe this is one of our better ones. You know, social media has become a very important tool in the campaigns and in the election process. It's not always good, but it's used extensively, whether it's spreading good or bad. Social media is a tool of choice now. One thing bad about it is the left has been better at it than the right has.
Much better.
And a lot of that is because people on the right have just resisted doing it or didn't take time to learn how to do it.
I'm guilty.
You're guilty.
Me too.
Right. So that brings us to what we are doing on the 16th. And we have Miss Melody Clark of the Heritage Action coming in, and they're going to do some activist training for us, and it's going to be to learn how to use social media and other effective techniques to be part of an important federal policy discussions, support those leaders taking a principled stand, and to help them continue to fight for important legislative advances. You hold the key to the change, the course of our country. Let us show you how to do it. Our fun and informal skills clinic will teach you the nuts and bolts of how to take action and arm you with the information you need to amplify your voice on congressional issues. These same skills can be applied to advance other important legislative and policy battles. You can make a big difference even if you have a hectic schedule. And the Skills Clinic, they're part of Heritage Action, and they're going to equip you to know the issues. They have the information you need to understand any policy issue. They're going to teach you how to grow your activist skills and networks, and they'll work with you one-on-one, and how to go out and lead in the community so you won't be alone. They will have your back. And this is something that once you learn it, you can share that with other members of your family, some of your social groups, to get other people involved, because it's instantaneous. When you hit the share button, it can go worldwide in a matter of seconds.
You know, Rick, one of the first things we ought to do is tell the people how to sign up. cctaxpayers.com. And there's a button there that'll take you to Eventbrite.
It's right on the front page. It gives you all the details on the time of the meeting, the location of the meeting. And this is all our meetings are free and open to the public. This one, however, does require you to have a ticket to get in. And the reason for the ticket, which is free, doesn't cost you anything, is so they'll know how much food to bring, because they're going to feed us.
Yes.
That's
yes.
That's very important.
They're going to feed our brains.
I'm bringing an appetite.
They're going to feed our brains and our tummies.
You know, a little earlier we were talking about how important some of the upcoming campaigns are, and I don't think one of the real important ones is going to be our gubernatorial campaign this time. And I do know that Dan Forrest is making plans to make extensive use of Facebook and Twitter. Now, I've gone on Facebook and looked for his group and actually joined his group. But I don't know much about Twitter. That's what one of the reasons I really want to attend this is because I'm anxious to learn a little more about how to use that. I'm
it's
lost
so easy.
There.
It's really easy.
Well, ask the president. He's very effective with it.
Yeah, I know that. I did sign up for getting his tweets. Yeah. I get one every morning and sometimes during the day.
And speaking of that, think about how brilliant that is, because one of the biggest issues is you can't trust the media.
No, that's flat right. out not.
The media has a political agenda. It leans far to the left. It's a liberal media. They've been caught in a lot of lies and deceptions, mm-hmm. And doing a lot of things to try to affect the outcome of the elections. And yep. Trump was wise enough to understand that he couldn't go through the media to get to you and to tell you what's going on and what he's doing and what the plans are. But he could get to you instantly on Twitter.
People had a hissy fit about it in the beginning. I think it was absolute genius.
It was.
Speaking about our president, the day after the training session, Donald Trump is visiting Greenville, North Carolina.
Yes.
Right? It's a rally. You can still get tickets at www.donaldjtrump.com. It's going to be held at Minji's Auditorium. So that's on ECU campus. Holds 8,000 people.
Hal and I have our tickets.
We have our tickets, too.
Yeah. It starts at 7. Doors will open at 4. Of course, they're going to sell out more tickets than the than the occupancy. So it's going to be first come, first serve. So doors open 4. Plan to get there early if you want to make sure you get in.
Maybe
you're going to
camp
out.
Maybe four hours early.
Yeah. I'll be camping out.
There will be people camping out. Let's get back to our activist training. I'm looking forward to it. I use all the social media now, but I'm no expert at it. I could use some pointers from them. Session topics include print media impact, how to write an effective letter to the editor and get it published, understanding and using social media, blogs, Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, I'm sure. Twitter training for new and advanced users, get started, build and deploy a Twitter army. Mm-hmm. And literally it is an army, because say I've got 100 people following me on Twitter and I share publicly a tweet about something, and say only 10%, 10 of those people share that to their followers, and 10 of their followers
grows exponentially.
Right. in just a matter of minutes, you could reach thousands. And, you know, depending on how you build your list of followers and who you're following and the groups you're participating in, yeah, you can have a big impact.
Rick, maybe it's just me, but I find some of those tweets so cryptic. I'm wondering what was the point here? Am I being stupid or what?
Don't get wrapped up in that and waste your time, you know, because there's a lot of garbage out there. Uh-huh. You know, just skip right on over those. Over time, as you fine-tune what you're interested in, who you want to receive most of your stuff from, you'll filter out a lot of that. But don't waste your time on it. The important thing is it gives you a voice.
Mm-hmm. I would also, at this seminar, I would also ask the question, what format does a good Twitter take?
Uh-huh.
How cryptic can it get?
It would be a good tweet.
A tweet.
It would be a good tweet. Okay.
Not a Twitter.
A tweet, yeah.
His first thing we'll learn is the lingo. Proper lingo.
Yeah, we got to have some training here, definitely.
Yeah, we need to become good birds.
But back to you, Rainer, is ignore that stuff. Don't get wrapped up in it. If you don't understand it, just, you know, when you see one you do understand and you agree with and you think it needs to be shared, hit the share button and send it out to as many people as you can. That's how it works. Next is legislative training, using the Heritage Action Dashboard and other resources to understand important policy discussions. We will also cover how to arrange and plan an effective meeting with your congressman. So this is going to be some...
I think some of those things we're pretty good at already, but I think the social media part of it is something I really, really need.
Right.
I'm lousy at it.
It's going to be a long meeting, huh? I'll cover all that.
Yeah, I think a couple hours or more.
That's why they're feeding us.
Yeah.
Need sustenance, do we?
I think there's a light dinner and light snacks.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about bringing a sleeping bag. So. Okay, so we're looking forward to that. Again, go to cctaxpayers.com. Right there on our homepage is all the information about it. And you can still hit the button and register. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, Go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today, and I hope you're encouraged by some of the things you hear, and it will cause you to be more involved and become a more active citizen in the process of electing our officials. And if you'll come to one of our meetings and join CCTA, you can become involved in being watchdog and helping us keep an eye on them and hold them accountable for what they're doing. We also take trips up to legislators and talk with them frequently and help to steer them in the right paths on some of this legislation.
We could use a lot of help.
Right.
Come on in. The water's fine.
And some of you aren't going to be able to make the trip, but you'll be able to use social media if you get this training we're having. And you'll also be able to make phone calls, write letters. You know, everybody needs to get involved, folks. If we lose this country the way it is now, we may never get it back. Once it goes completely to the left, that's probably going to be history for us. I hate to say that, but...
let's don't let it happen.
That's, you know, right.
Rick, along with that, to the listeners, to the folks, to us folks that are here talking right now, if we lose the country, it really won't have a big effect on us, but on our children,
yes,
and our grandchildren. If you are interested in preserving the country for your children and your grandchildren, get active.
Right. I mean, a few years back, if I'd have told you we're going to elect... I really hate to call them this, but it's the truth, socialists and communists and Islamists to our Congress and have them in there trying to steer our laws in more favorable directions for their beliefs, you wouldn't have believed it. But here we are. That's what we've got. Okay. Thanks again for tuning in. We really enjoy being able to share some time with you. Hope that you're enjoying it. If you are, I wish you would do us a big favor. Go to cctaxpayers.com and click on the feedback button and let us know what you think, how we're doing. Let us know if there's topics you want to hear about that we haven't discussed. There's also a contact page there. If you just want to talk to us about any other issues, that would be great too.
I thought you were going to say patronize our sponsors, because that's really important too.
Yes, it is. I've always asked them, if you do go and visit one of our sponsors, please tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call. That's all we have for today. Please come back and join us again next week.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com. Or email Hal at cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact Hal at cctaxpayers.com.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.